Please be seated. Please bear with me as I'm fighting a slight head cold. I'm going to grab a drink of water before we get started here. And I'll try not to be coughing or sniffling my way through this. But I want to say good morning. And I think it's safe to say that winter is here. It's very cold. A little bit of snow on the ground. And I'm glad that each one of you braved the cold temperatures this morning. I invite you to turn in your Bible to page 819, the second book of Corinthians, chapter 5, starting at the verse numbered 16. Again, you can follow along on page 819 in your pew Bible. That is 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, starting at the verse numbered 16. Let us give our reverent attention to the reading of God's holy word. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. May you fill me with your Holy Spirit as I attempt to share your word, Lord. Guide me and guide my lips, Lord. May the meditations of my heart, the meditations of my mind be evident to you and for your glory, not my own. May they fall on hungry ears, Lord. May you move in us this morning. Amen. I have to admit, it seemed a little bit daunting being asked to preach on December 31st. I figured that's up there with like Christmas Eve, Thanksgiving, and Easter. They're kind of directed sermons a little bit. So I figured I almost entirely had to preach something about the new year beginning. And I started thinking about New Year's resolutions and told myself, new year, new me. I'm going to start by writing the best sermons anyone has ever heard. Luckily for me, the new year starts tomorrow, so you still have to suffer through this one. But I have a New Year's resolution or challenge for us to do as a church and individually better. Now, to say better doesn't mean that some of you, because I'll admit to being one of those that doesn't do this enough, but some of you I know do a great job at this. But let's make a New Year's resolution to become better ambassadors for God. I felt led to talk about this passage in light of some of the vision team's work, about what God's will is in the life of every Christian, and a good reminder for us all. This passage in 2 Corinthians sheds some light and guides us as to what this means, to be an ambassador for God and how to accomplish this. First, let me define ambassador according to Webster's dictionary. An ambassador, according to the dictionary, is an official envoy, especially a diplomatic agent of the highest rank accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as the resident representative of his or own government or sovereign, or appointed for a special and often temporary diplomatic assignment. Also, an authorized representative or messenger. The Greek word for ambassador is presbuo, and this is used only one other time in the New Testament, and that is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, when Paul is asking for prayers while he is chained up in prison to be an ambassador for Christ. So he's praying, he's asking for prayers as he attempts to be an ambassador for Christ even while he's chained up. Paul takes the idea of an ambassador very seriously and has it in his heart to always be preaching the message God has given to him. When discussing evangelism, Paul uses this term, this official role that we have to represent God here on earth. And every single one of those who are every single one of us who are in Christ have this role of being God's special envoy, of his authorized messengers. So we, as ambassadors, embark on the job at hand, which is the ministry of reconciliation, as it says in verse 18. So one then asks, what is the message? If we're supposed to be an ambassador and imparting a message, what is the message? And the message, as stated here in this passage, is that God is reconciling us to himself by not counting our sins against us and making him who had no sin to be sin, that we may be the righteousness of God. So I want to define another word for you to help clear this up a little bit, and that's reconciliation, and define it at least in the Greek. The Greek word is katalage, and this has the meaning of an exchange taking place. So money changers, when reconciling with someone, would exchange items of equivalent value. So if I'm going to exchange this, I'm going to give you something of equivalent value. But the exchange that takes place with God is our sin for his righteousness. Our sin was poured into Christ at his crucifixion, and his righteousness is poured into us at our conversion. So the difference then with this exchange and that of the money changers is that God takes something immeasurably valuable and exchanges it for something utterly worthless. That's the exchange. That's the reconciliation that that Christ took upon our sin that we may have righteousness. And so God is reconciling us to himself. He makes this exchange happen. He does this by making Christ to be sin, so that when he looks at us, he declares us righteous. God is reconciling us to himself by not counting our sins against us, making Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, that we may be the righteousness of God. And that's the message that we then take out on behalf of God. We are then given the ministry of reconciliation. We as ambassadors have our message, and now we must deliver it. So to whom do we deliver it? Everyone. Our neighbor, our co-worker, our family, strangers we come across, anyone and everyone who is willing to hear. And the beginning of this passage helps us understand this a little bit more. In verse 16, it says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." So what does it mean to see someone from a worldly point of view? With selfishness being the natural posture of thinking, it would seem then that regarding someone from a worldly point of view would be to look at each person selfishly. This means that we look at people as to what can we gain from them. That someone's identity, usefulness, and being is regarded by what we can get out of them. And the trouble is how we see Christ in this way. Both people from Jesus' day and people today often see Jesus as a means to gain things. I was told that there's a phrase, fire insurance, that Jesus is simply fire insurance to save us from the fire, that that's just all he is to us. That Christ's usefulness is only so far as what he can do for us or what we can get out of it. Now, the obvious answer of eternal life is what we have to gain, and that is a wonderful thing. However, I think that a lot of times, sometimes we see Jesus as Santa Claus. And sometimes that's from a misinterpretation of him even telling us, ask and it will be given to you. And people from Jesus' time may have even seen him and thought, great, now I will use Jesus to be healed. Now, that may be assuming a little bit much, but knowing human nature, I don't believe that is that far from the truth. We also know that those who came in contact with him were changed in a different way. So yes, we may have had this idea of what can I get out of Jesus. Jesus' plans for us were much bigger. But the argument here is that we must see each person we come across, not as a what can we gain, but how can we be an ambassador for God, reconciling this person to God? We must look at this person as the next citizen of the kingdom of God. We must look at each person saying, this could be the next citizen in the kingdom of God. Not, I'm going to introduce myself to this person and maybe I can get a free vacation rental or something like that, a free, maybe he'll be able to fix my tire for me. I mean, oftentimes the natural state is to see how does this relationship benefit me? But not that, but how does this relationship benefit this person to be reconciled to God? So we are God's ambassadors to the world, reconciling the world to him, giving the message that God forgives sins and makes us righteous in his eyes to all those around us. We view these people not as what we can get from them, but with a kingdom perspective. So why is this so important? What does this have to do? What's the big picture here? Because we are God's fellow workers in this, and the day of salvation is now. The day of salvation is here for you and everyone else on the earth. We should not delay in accepting God's gift of salvation. And we should not delay spreading the news of salvation to those around us. It's not good enough to say, maybe one day I'll accept this gift, or maybe one day I'll go out and evangelize. It's not, the day of salvation is here and now. And we need to be emboldened to go out and spread the good news of salvation. So then the question is asked, how do we do this? And I know people start to make excuses, because I'm one of those people, such as, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I'm not particularly good with words. And the problem with that is that evangelism is not a gift. It's not one of the spiritual gifts that Paul defines in throughout the different passages in Corinthians and Ephesians. Evangelism is a command. Christ says, go. He doesn't say, if you have the gift of evangelism, go, but commands all his believers to go. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Amen. If we love Jesus, we will go and make disciples of all nations. It's not a, if you have the gift, or I feel uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. It can be awkward, and rejection can hurt. But that doesn't keep us from fulfilling the command to go. So, as this New Year's resolution to go and to become better ambassadors for God, there are a couple of key things that I want us to consider when doing this. Per good Reformed theology, I have three keys. One, we must know whose ambassador we are and have an intimate relationship with him. We must know God, know His voice, know His nature, know His will, know His character. If we do not know God intimately, if we don't have that relationship with Him, we cannot be His representative. We can't represent someone we don't know. So that first step, make sure that we know who we are that we're representing. That's not just like, all right, He's there, and He's big and powerful and good. We have to know His voice. We have to know what His will is. We have to find these things out. That takes time. That takes spending time with this person. In the medieval times, it gets a little bit fuzzy about modern day, but an ambassador, I mean, he speaks on behalf of the person that he's representing. He knows who he's representing. So an ambassador from England knows the King of England very intimately and can speak and make commitments on his behalf. And he does that because he knows them, and we have to know God intimately. Number two, we must know the message. Jim Burns, former youth pastor at the Falls Church, once said to me in a class, "You cannot give what you do not have." You cannot give what you do not have, which is so you cannot give the message if you don't have the message. In our bulletin at the top, 1 Peter 3:15 talks about we must be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have, that people are going to ask questions. People are going to say, "Hey, what is it you're talking about?" Or, "Why do you do the things that you do?" And we have to be ready to explain the message. We can't just say, we can't just make these cop-out answers of, "I just try to love." That's a great thing. But when we're trying to be God's ambassadors, we have to explain a little bit more, a little bit deeper, the story of salvation and of God's grace. So we have to know whose ambassador we are. We have to know the message before we can give it. And we must love one another. Chris Moorman, pastor at Grace Capital City, says this: God's plan A for revealing Himself to the world is the way in which we love one another. God's plan A for revealing Himself to the world is the way in which we love one another. Anyone here love apologetics? Man, high school, college, man, I thrived on apologetics. The ontological argument, the transcendental argument, the existentialism argument, all of these wonderful, beautiful arguments, I knew them backwards and forwards, and I ended relationships, and I pushed people away, and I divided, and I was winsome about it all at the same time. And there is a great place for apologetics. I love it. The logic, the flow of things, the irrefutability. There's a wonderful place for apologetics and evangelism. But I believe that love is one of the greatest tools and arguments for the existence of God. So if we're going to go out and be ambassadors for God, we have to love one another. That the way we love one another can be revealing to who God is. And that should be helpful, hopeful, and helpful to those who may not find themselves with all of the winsome arguments or all of the beautiful ways of presenting the gospel. If I don't know the three R's of salvation or what all the cross and the cliffs and all the demonstrations of the gospel. Because if we can just live our life full of love as a demonstration of God's love for us, that can be just the starting point in a conversation with somebody as we embark on being an ambassador for God. We've got to know who we're representing and whose ambassador we are. We've got to know the message. We've got to have that rope. We've got to be ready to answer for anybody who asks us about why it is the things that we do or what we say. And we've got to love one another. Three keys as we embark on this challenge, on this New Year's resolution, to be better ambassadors for God. It's what the vision team is talking about. We're saying, how can we reach these people out here? How can we be ambassadors for God right out here? So let's start this new year trying to be better ambassadors for God. We who are in Christ are God's ambassadors, co-working in the ministry of reconciliation. We are to look for those future citizens in the kingdom of God and work on behalf of God through the power of the Holy Spirit to reconcile them to God. So let us, you and me, this is out of my comfort zone, let us make a New Year's resolution to become better ambassadors for God, spreading the good news to those around us, and let this church be a church of ambassadors for God to our neighbors here in Kingstown, the Northern Virginia area, the U.S., and to the ends of the world. Amen. Now, let us stand and sing